I was sitting in prison and met a forensic peer mentor, my forensic peer mentor, who had been to the same prison I was sitting in, who walked in as an employee. And that changed my world in so many different ways, because not only did I not believe I could be more than I was, but I could be respected by people who weren't in the recovery community. I could be important. I could have a real career that made substantial money to support a family that I plan to have in the future.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Direct.
Did we check the mics? Did y'all check the mics?
Mic check.
There was no we part of this. We were fucking real.
Did we?
Three. They.
We're just talent now. we're rolling. We're live. We're streaming live. Okay. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for sobriety, recovery, life, and that we're truly alive. We surrender this time to your care and control. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the earth, unite. Welcome to the Most High Show, made by and for people in recovery, a show about recovery, spirituality, and being human. Our mission is to provide impactful, community-driven media that informs, empowers, and inspires positive change. Real people, real stories, real life. This is the Most High Show. All right, so joining me today is my co-host, Sarah.
Hello, hello.
With an H.
With an H.
And when we do a check-in first, we usually don't check in on who we are and what's going on in our life, you know? What's going on in your life, other things?
I mean, you know, things are good. Just got a promotion at work. Really busy, really tired, but really fulfilled. Yeah, life is good.
Really busy, really tired, and really fulfilled.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What about you?
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot going on. We've been out of town filming. We've been on shoots, post-production. We're producing 90 episodes of Montana Society. It's pretty insane. It's a lot, but it's all, I guess, fulfilled.
Yeah, so we're both busy, fulfilled. I'm tired. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm really tired. That's probably the only negative. I'm not getting great sleep, and so... I mean, I don't know. We've never really done this, but I think I'm good on doing the show tonight.
Yeah, I ain't really feeling it either.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to become inauthentic and try to, like, force something.
Yeah. Like, I just don't have it in me, so I can't. Like, let's just go get some food.
Yeah, let's get some pizza, and we'll just kick it.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Good luck, guys.
Guys?
Hi. Well,
I guess not on here anymore.
Oh God. well, I guess, I mean, we could do it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think so. They just abandoned their post. So I guess it's all up to us.
It's always all up to us. Well, okay guys. How are y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
I'm doing pretty good.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm doing pretty good. You know,
how are you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing pretty good. I really like this job. It's gone so well so far.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, well, how about we tell these people who we are? Because we're always, like, behind the scenes, I guess, so.
Okay, take off.
Oh, you want me to take off? Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I'm Bailey. I'm from Forsyth County-ish, kind of. That's me, but what about you?
Yeah, I'm Caleb. I'm from Duluth, Georgia. I spent pretty much my whole life growing up in Georgia, and now I'm here in Chamblee with all you guys. So.
I'm Jason, and I'm from Thomason.
Jason?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, guys, all right, let's see. What should we do? Let's just talk. Let's just chill. Yeah. What do y'all think?
That's the plan.
We can do that.
All right, well, Caleb, if your recovery was a genre of movie, what would it be to you? Like, what do you think it would be?
Oh, I mean, I guess, like, if I would having to look at it, like, from a recovery perspective, going through all the ups and downs, I would probably say suspense, honestly. It would be a suspense film. Because, you know, suspense, you know, it's dealing with a lot of anxiety caused by uncertainty, doubt, undecidedness, and you never really know what's going to happen next. And I feel like I was dealing with a lot of that, you know, going through all the ups and downs. So that's it for me.
I feel like a lot of people will probably feel that way.
Yeah, honestly.
What about you, Jason?
Oh, genre movies. Probably Lifetime.
Like a big drama.
Yeah, everything happens. I've seen Lifetime movies where you take one girl, she gets kidnapped, put up for ransom, stabbed.
Oh, God.
Stole a bunch of stuff, got on drugs,
put
up for
you?
Adoption, all in one movie, and then it finally said happily ever after. So, yeah.
Okay.
I can go with it. Yeah.
I like that.
Bailey, what would you say about yourself? What genre of movie would your journey be?
We all know it's true crime.
True crime.
From the trap, but I'm back. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm not. Apparently, if y'all have seen the movie Memento, that is what people are comparing my life to currently. Have you seen that? Because I have. I'm going to have to go home and watch it.
Here's a note for you guys. You have to keep the mic close to you.
Gotcha.
No, see, we're learning.
Speaking to the mic. Don't make me come back.
We won't.
Not trying
to. He's tired. We're making him work. Right. We are failing at our jobs. Yeah, what are you doing here?
Yeah. So what we got?
Well, guys, what would your life be like today if you hadn't found recovery?
I'd probably be dead. That's your real talk.
Like, really?
Seriously, yes. Okay. I'm not going to flex in front with you about it. At the end of the day, had I not decided that recovery was a must for me, man, I came in the program, when I first started out, I came in the program at 144 pounds. So it I had
And how tall are you?
6'2". And I'm at 220-ish now. So let's say I gave myself another month just out in the jungle, I would have made it.
That's real?
Yeah. Would have made it. So many doors kept closing, and the more doors that kept closing, I kept using over and over. So, yeah. Man. It was time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Like, by the time I became ready for recovery, my life was so bad. I was sitting in prison. I was on fentanyl. I didn't know who I was half the time. I went from functional, quote unquote, to destroyed. Like, every part of who I was missing, and I had to, or I'd be dead.
Right.
I don't know. That's a lot of real talk.
Jail's like, I would just be chilling.
No. Jail's institutions and death.
Oh,
no,
my.
That's for sure. No, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, for me, if I hadn't found recovery, honestly, like, I would be in a much worse spot than I am now. You know, I would be stuck and stagnant. Like, I would be wasting more time, more money, and more resources doing what I shouldn't be doing. And because at that time I thought it was okay, and now, you know, I can fully see the real picture of what I'm doing, you know.
Right.
And I want to, you know, get somewhere.
And you're
in
doing
life.
Great things.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we're doing here at Most High. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of great things too, as far as working here, it's internships at Most High. What's the most rewarding thing you both have gotten out of this program?
I think that's actually something that we talk about a lot. And me and Caleb have both been here longer. We just got Jason here.
Yes,
but
2 days ago.
Yes, 2 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah.
But we constantly are talking about how we don't believe we're creative. And then Christian and Brian are like, whoa, that was so cool, guys. Like, I cannot believe you did that. That was awesome. And we're like, really? You know? Mm-hmm. And that's cool, like, to unlock that part of yourself that you didn't really know you had. I think it's awesome. I think we both stepped out of shells that we didn't even know we were in.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think so. I think a real rewarding part, too, is just seeing how far people come. You know, for instance, like, we took out a trip out to Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
We went to the Otter House, and we actually did an interview with someone there named Harrison, and we kind of checked up on him while we were there. And it was really interesting, you know, seeing him in Montana on film and then seeing where he is now. You know, how well he's doing, the progress he's made in his life, like the job he has now. Just that contrast is really real, and seeing, you know, the difference the things we do here can make in someone's life is really cool. So I really enjoy that part of it. I mean, you talk to everyone from, you know, you talk to addicts, and then you talk to people like architects too, and you're doing interviews with them, and that's just really cool to see.
We go from having sessions at the Whitley Hotel and Crog Street tagging walls, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do a lot of different stuff.
I haven't seen an edit that wasn't creative. Okay. To this day, I have not seen not one. You, with us and the things we've done, we can do things that half ourselves that most people would take a lifetime to do. Just yeah. imagine. Just imagine the things that we've done on drugs when we're out in the streets and out there in the valleys doing what we do for what we do it for. And then we get sober. How right. we push harder then. I've seen times that my drive as an addict to chase drugs and the things I would come up with, how creative I would tell a lie, how creative I would come up with different things as far as like how I was going to figure out how to get this money to do this, didn't have a car, how I was going to make sure I was going to get this ride to get this. Once I stole that, how I was going to make sure I was going to get back across town so I could do that.
Yeah, man, I didn't think of it that way. That is pretty
trust
creative.
Me, that's
yeah,
creative.
We are.
That's creative. And it's, and then we were doing it then for nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's some substantially beautiful, intelligent, smart, creative addicts that I have met in my lifetime.
You know, I heard, y'all have probably all seen the post on Facebook that says, I've never seen a sober person walk in the room that didn't light it up. And I think that's true. Like, just seeing, walking in this, like, building, we have so many people here today. Yes. And everybody's shining, you know? Yes. Like, we all were probably dim and dull at one point, but we've made it to where we're ourselves again. And, most like, definitely. We all have a story to help someone.
Most definitely.
So what do you guys think, like, when we're talking about just Most High Media, you know, and I know you just started here, Jason, but you've been here a little while, Bailey, but like, what's something that surprised you about working here? Like, do you guys have anything, you know, that maybe surprised you while we were filming, while you've been, you know, in the editing room, even a guest on the podcast or someone you've seen when we've been out all together?
I think, I mean, all of that together has surprised me because I didn't realize, hearing about Most High Media and seeing a couple of the podcasts and the things that they have on the app, I didn't realize the behind the scenes stuff and what goes into making it happen and just what we're doing itself and using real life stuff. You know, sometimes we're messing around, but some things are really serious. Like, we really are trying. We have a goal. We have, you know, things that we want to get done. We want to help people. And I think that is amazing. What we are willing to do in a positive way to make that happen, to share it to everyone, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for yeah. sure.
For me, I've never been in a situation or job setting where it was not only just about the job. This job, it comes with training, counseling, and coaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just not about filmmaking, you guys. It's not like we're just in here to film documentaries and work on podcasts and learn how to edit and cut things. You also, Christian has provided us the opportunity and spaces to be able to work on our sobriety during this time too. We don't just come in and it's all about work, work, work. You know, he cares so much about the fact that sobriety is the number one thing that we should focus on. He most definitely cares about that. Then we have counseling that comes along with it too. There's no jobs that you normally find that would care less about that. They just want to pay you for you to do the job and go home.
Right.
You know, so for me, it's just a huge opportunity just to grow mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally.
And they invest in us.
Yes.
They definitely believe
yes,
in what
they deposit,
you know,
most definitely.
And we're all at different points of our recovery, you know, like our development, where we've been, yep. jails, rehabs, whatever. We're
yes.
all different, but they make sure that we have our care individually, you
yes.
know, what
it's
we
personalized
need.
Personalized care.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Christian and Brian, they're not giving everybody the same prescription.
Right.
Each and every person they're giving it to, it signifies who you are as a person and what's good and what's best for you. What's good and best for Caleb. And for me, me coming in just with 2 days coming in, and I completely feel it's full of freedom. You don't feel stagnant. You don't feel as if you don't have room to grow. You're not working in a space where your supervisor or manager is micromanaging you and sitting over you and watching over your shoulder. He encourages you to be free and encourages you to be yourself.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always a plus.
I mean, I think that's really important too, honestly. I mean, this is the first job I've had where I've been granted this much, you know, creative freedom. And like, I don't know, free reign of whatever I'm doing, which is really interesting. Like, no one's standing on top of you telling you how to do this. And almost sometimes it's like, I want that. Like, I'm going to Christian like, oh, what should I do here? Is this the way I should do this? You know, I'm coming to him with a lot of questions because I'm just not used to, I guess, having free reign, you know, whether it's, you know, with the editing or the filming or how a scene should be done or, you know, which way we should look at something. And so I think that's really interesting. That's been hard for me, though, you know, not having all the structure of a normal job.
You do such a good job.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think we all are. But let's talk about what's been challenging so far. You know, we've gone through some different stuff. I know you've only been here with us 2 days, yeah. Jason. And Bailey, you've been here about a month. But what was something that was challenging for each of you so far? Or something, you know, we can talk about rewarding too. Let's talk about something rewarding and then maybe something challenging that's happened or that you guys have gone through since you've been here.
Let me think about that. You go up here.
Okay. Well, I think we kind of touched on rewarding a second ago, but challenging, I think, same thing with you, is I'm used to getting here, this is what you're going to do, this is what needs to be done, do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I don't have that list of things, I feel like, okay, well, am I doing it wrong? And I don't like to mess up. I'm a control freak. So having that sometimes freaks me out. But I think that's where we have to learn to develop ourselves and know, like, this is what I'm going to do because this is what I feel in this moment is going to be good for what we're doing. Right. And know that I have to have confidence in myself now. I think even with 3.5 years clean time, I'm not confident in myself and what I'm doing. And it stops me. Too. Thank you. Sorry. I'm not like going to my full potential because I'm stopping myself because I feel like, oh, what if somebody doesn't like it? So what?
Right.
You know? So what?
Yeah. That's not the rules here though.
Yeah.
It's not about, before we decided to do this, but what we were asked to do is, then Caleb was speaking, and I think all of us were a bit nervous just about it. And I told Caleb, I said, it's not a pass or fail thing.
Right.
You know, we've already won. We've already gotten to this place and this space and time about it. So just do what we know.
Yeah.
That's it. And as far as like the challenges for me, the challenges is that Christian challenges us.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it the most. He pushes us. He just has this way of how he goes about pushing us. It's not in an aggressive way. He wants to see the best come out of you. He wants you to shine, and he wants you to be able to add whatever value it is for you to have. Thank you. Whatever value it is for him, you to have to add to the company. Yeah. And that's what I love about it the most.
And he knows when you're lying to yourself, and he's not going to allow that. You know, he was like, why are you even saying that to me? Right. What are you really trying to say right now? And that, sometimes people don't do that. You know, when you're in a social situation and somebody, your friend's not going to be like, some of them will, but you know, and he's definitely pushing us to be bigger and better. Right. And that's important because something I stress all the time, and anyone who knows me has heard it come out of my mouth a billion times. Sometimes somebody hasn't been told, I believe in you.
Right.
And that is so important in recovery because if that addict comes into the rehab that first day and then you tell them, I mean, you might make it. What does that say to them? Tell them you believe in them. Dr. Zach on the show, if anybody has seen that show, was literally talking about the way you speak to someone, the words you put in their head, literally can your brain listens to that. Yes.
So. Yeah. No, I agree with all that. I mean, I think for me personally, like when we're just talking about the challenges or, you know, just being stressed out here, the most stressful day for me so far has actually just taken place. It was actually Monday of this week.
Agreed.
So
mental breakdown Monday.
No, it was just interesting because we had all together, you know, we do the podcast every Friday, like, you know, like we're doing right now. And then Monday, we generally go through post-production for the podcast. Right. You know, that's like editing the sound, making sure everything looks good, putting it all together, you know, wrapping it up in a nice little bow.
Check out last week's show. Caleb killed it.
And then we actually have to upload it on all of our platforms, you know, whether that's Spotify, Apple Music, on our YouTube, on our app. And so we had to sit down and like we were only shown it once for like maybe 10-ish minutes, you know, going through the whole process. And that was just thrown all over our plate. You know, Christian wasn't here that Monday. We obviously kind of knew what we were doing, but it was our first time doing it. And that was really, really difficult. I mean, we spent practically the whole day doing it just up until we clocked out and left for the day.
Yeah.
So that was really stressful. We got it done and it was really rewarding. And I felt really good after we got it out there. And especially when Brian texted us saying it was online at the end of, at the end of the night. So that was really cool, honestly. So let's go on to the next segment here. Let's talk about our creativity so far in recovery. How do you guys think that, you know, being creative has helped you in your recovery journey so far?
Oh my God.
You know,
if you can put that into words. I think it's pulled me out of a box, you know?
Okay.
And I feel like now, ever since I started working here, I see things in everything I do. You know, the things I wasn't doing before, the things I could add to different parts of my life. For those of y'all who don't know me, I'm a certified addiction recovery empowerment specialist, CARE, CPS, AD, and forensic peer mentoring. And
you better do it, girl.
Yes. I think that what we do here, while some people look at it differently than like a rehab or a recovery center or something, it's not. We're just not face to face. They're not living here. You know, we are still reaching out to people. We're still helping people. And sometimes I feel there's one set way people want people to recover. And these days, it's very clear that there's so many different ways.
Correct.
And we can use what we learned from each one, from our 12 steps, from our therapy, from, you know, media editing, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. that we can use in all these different parts of our lives to help someone, to reach out to that certain person. And I think that's going to help me in the long run if I hadn't had, like, compared to if I didn't have this experience.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
The creativity as far as, just look at it. Montana Society. That's creativity.
Yeah.
Just having guys, a group of guys, get in a bunker and help build a bunker and get sober during the time during that span.
Yeah.
That in itself, look at this place, Most High Media. It's like you were saying, they put us in this box that getting sober has to look a certain way.
Right.
It has to be a certain way. You have to be institutionalized in those kind of ways. You have to be in a rehab, but this is our rehab too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So for me, my creativity is my coping. It's what gives me peace when I'm at those breaking points where I feel like I want to give up and throw in the towel. It's like, okay, you've gone through this and you've been from this spot to this spot, and you've gone from this from being not clean at all to 6 months, and what's the next step? And then you don't really know because you're at a crossroad, not really knowing whether you should go right or left, but you have to continue to keep persevering. So for me, when I get in those spaces, I paint, I work on my clothing line. I just do whatever I need to do creativity-wise just to be able to feel human.
Yeah.
Because you can be in this, I want to say lifestyle, you can, sometimes you don't feel as human as you want to. Everything seems more like you're in a, just being captive of something. You know, you want to be able to say, you know what, can I be able to do this by myself? Will I be able to lead out these doors and maintain and not pick up and not do these things? And so you keep going until you have that feeling that you know you can. This particular program I'm in now, Choice Recovery, ran by Joseph Hicks, it's a year-long program. And I told myself, okay, I did 6 months at Riverwoods Behavioral Health. Then I did 3 months with SLA. And I wanted SLA to be my final stop. But just so happened, by the grace of God, Joseph came up. I came to Joseph's program the day after it opened, and it helped continue to save my life, and it added another 12 months. So I'm like, okay, I gave that world out there 20, maybe 30 years of acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
What's another year?
Right.
Of getting clean and sober and having my feet on solid ground. So, and even in the end with creativity too, I was able to deposited into a lot of things and a lot of people during that time too. People now to this day wear some of the clothing I made.
Wow.
So and the strange part about it, I started out with my clothing line with taking clothes out of donation boxes at these rehabs, because I came into rehab with nothing. I had one t-shirt, one pair of shorts, one pair of shoes, no underwear. I didn't have any socks, birth certificate, social security card, ID, nothing. And so when I got there, I would dig in the box and find things that I liked, but I decided, okay, let me do this, let me alter this, or let me sew this on this, or let me paint this, because I had to have clothes, mm-hmm. you know? And so it just started from there. And now, it's like my go-to. When yeah. I'm in that space of, man, I'm sick of this, and I want to be out, and I want to be on my own, what do I do? I just go to a space where I can paint and I can do things I do. So creativity, it's a beautiful thing. And I encourage anybody who hasn't tapped into their creativity, please do.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. Whether it's rapping, singing, kids coloring, just whatever your heart desires as far as what you are good at and you don't even know why you're good at it. That's your creativity. Yeah.
I think utilizing that creativity has been really important for me because I feel like I really never use that creative part of my brain or very much, you know, like most of the jobs and stuff I've had or, you know, the education I've gone through. I've done art classes and stuff like that, just really simple stuff. And I never really enjoyed it. But here, actually utilizing that creativity every day through work is not something I'm used to. And it's really new and it's been interesting for me because, you know, I can go down different paths of what I want to do and how I like it.
And you had a love for technology that you could talk about a lot right now that you get to use that in ways you didn't even know you could.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't know how to do any sort of really, you know, actual film editing or real editing, you know, by education. I've done a little bit of editing here and there for classes or projects I've done, you know, but actually utilizing it every day, I'm learning so much through all the software we use and all the filming techniques and, you know, things that I didn't pick up on, you know, when I was watching a show or a movie beforehand that now I see and I'm just like, wow, that's so cool the way they filmed this shot or, you know, the way they edited the scene, which I didn't pick up on before, but now I'm noticing all those little things.
Right.
I'm going and watching that stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, you
want to
go?
No.
Okay. What tools have you learned to manage your thinking and emotions in recovery?
I think for me personally, like the tool that's mainly helped me, and I think it can help a lot of other people too, is just utilizing patience. I think like patience is super important. It's like key for everyone, especially in recovery, but not only people in recovery. I mean, anyone can, it's a useful tool. Because just like thinking about a situation and like fully, you know, grasping it, understanding it, and then making a planned decision about something before just impulsively going about it can, I don't know, it can really impact the situation negatively.
Us addicts are pretty impulsive.
Yeah, so I think anyone, I don't know, can learn from being patient. It's helped me a lot, so.
And this next question for me, I want to talk about your dreams outside of Most High. Now this for me is very important. What do you guys plan on doing after this, after the internship?
Well, that's an easy one for me. I talk about it constantly.
Okay.
As I just mentioned with my certifications, mm-hmm. I did a lot of jail and prison time, mm-hmm. and that's where I found my recovery. You know, I fully support any pathway of recovery, whichever 12 steps, whatever worked for someone, but that wasn't my story. That's not what worked for me. And I was sitting in prison and met a forensic peer mentor, my forensic peer mentor, who had been to the same prison I was sitting in, who walked in as an employee. And that changed my world in so many different ways because not only did I not believe I could be more than I was, but I could be respected by people who weren't in the recovery community. I could be important. I could have a real career that made substantial money to support a family that I plan to have in the future. And I want so badly to be able to help someone in there because I was always that addict that was running around being like, you want to go to rehab? You know, like I'm not going to, but do you want to? Like, because we definitely can get you into rehab. I will find you a way to get into rehab. And obviously that looked a little hypocritical and I'm sure people thought I was crazy, but I always knew that that was not the life I wanted. I just didn't know how I could get out. I believed in everyone else. I didn't believe in myself. And from when I got out of prison in 2023 to finding out the path to get into CARES, I ended up getting diagnosed with cancer. I did not end up applying for CARES because it would have been the same week that I knew I had just started having scans. I knew that the diagnosis was coming. They'd already kind of prepared me. And I did not want to start something I wasn't going to be able to finish.
Correct.
People sat and said I was making excuses. I was lying to myself. I was scared. But I made a goal in my head. I said, okay, the day that they tell me this cancer is out of my body, I'm going to apply for CARES. I got home on November 13th from the hospital and they said, we got everything. And I logged into my computer and that following Monday, CARES applications open. Mm-hmm. I applied, I got in. February 28th is the day that I got my certificate. And then I knew what was next. I wanted to be a forensic peer mentor. I knew I wanted to work in the prison. I knew I was made for bigger things. Like, I had a goal. I had a plan. Well, they had an issue. They weren't doing the classes. So I was like, okay, fine. Then it pops up. They're doing the classes. And I just started working here. And I went to them and I was like, listen, this is something so important to me. Like, is there a way I can do extra work, stay late, come early, whatever, to make this happen where I can do this class? And they were like, go do this, like, you're fine. And that's another part I love about this place. They want you to grow. They want you to be better. Yeah. And they allowed me to do that. And so now, as of last Friday, I got my forensic peer mentoring.
Congratulations. We got to watch that. Congrats.
Yeah, they watched me. They supported. So it was really cool. And I know that, like, I am made for so much. And this is only the start. I love working here because I want everyone to know they have the chance of recovery. And, you know, I'm sitting in forensic peer mentoring class or CARES class, and I'm thinking, how do I work for every single one of these organizations at once? You know, like, I love what everyone in the recovery community is doing, and I love how big it's getting, how acceptable it is to be in recovery, how we rather you say, I'm an addict and I need help, than you be dead.
Right.
And that's huge, because at the beginning of my addiction, I was scared to tell anyone because, one, I was young and stupid and didn't want people to know my secret. I didn't really want to stop. But also, what would you even say to me? Like, oh, you're doing it for attention, or you're doing it for, you know, whatever reason. You're just young. You need to stop. You know, like, there was always that thought in my head, which was probably the addiction talking, telling me that somebody would tell me that it's not that serious. And so I never wanted to reach out for help for fear. And I don't want anyone else to feel that way. I don't want anybody to think they cannot be better.
That's it.
So I have tons of goals, you know? Like, I know that I want to do big things, and I'm not going to stop until I reach them.
And yeah, I bet you remember a time where goals weren't even a thought process.
No.
Couldn't even think about it. And then look at you now.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I mean, just through
the fighting the fight.
Yeah, just through the last year, going through chemo, being told every time it was time to come up for scans, and they were like, oh, well, we don't know, like, something looks weird, something looks funny. Oh, hey, this might be bad. You could die. You could lose your leg. And I was like, and you want me to plan the future? Because all I'm seeing is a big disappointment. Yeah. And I was scared of that. You know, I'm not going to lie about it. Yeah, I was scared. But I was more scared of working hard for something and never being able to have it. And that's something I held myself back and I shouldn't have done. But I'm doing it now. So that's just what will.
Yes, you will. What about you,
Caleb? I mean, I guess I've thought a lot about it. And, you know, before working here and, like, when I first started working here, I feel like I've always kind of wanted to, you know, work at a big tech company or work at just, you know, a large company in general, Fortune 500 company, if I could, you know, work my way up from the bottom on the corporate ladder. That's kind of always what I saw myself doing, especially, you know, because of my dad. He was an electrical engineer and he's worked at a lot of large companies. And that's always been an aspiration of mine, to work for a large company like that. But now working here at Most High Media and, you know, seeing, you know, how media is done. I mean, I've always had a passion for film and for especially TV shows and how they were filmed and, you know, the quality of everything. So seeing that and then working here has actually made me possibly want to work in media in the future, which is kind of interesting, especially knowing what I know now and how it's kind of all being done and that I'm not too bad at it. So I don't know. I feel like maybe in the
future.
You're
great at it. You really are.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
It's for you.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see in the future. But yeah, so knowing about this, like, how would you say that the experience here has helped shape or refine your goals, you know, going forward, just working at Most High, you know, so far?
With my short time, it's not so much about it shaping it, but it's giving me a platform and a foundation to know where it's going.
Yeah.
At the beginning of it, I didn't even have one. I didn't have, like, this plan A, B, C, or D, or how I was going to get there. I just kept pressing forward, you know? So now the fact that I'm in here and connected to the things and the people that I'm connected to, it gives me a whole different substantial amount of hope on where my life is going now and, of course, and the quality of it going forward. So I'm extremely happy and just proud of the fact that it's sometimes good to know somebody who knows somebody, you know?
That's very true. We do meet a lot of different people. And I feel like, you know, just meeting all these different people, you could, you know, possibly see them down the line, or even, you know, all the networking opportunities we get here is just amazing.
That's something we haven't brought up yet. I mean, we have a studio full of people right now who come out to support us, to talk, to have community and connection. And that is huge. We got Joseph here and his whole crew. Choice Recovery? Joseph.
That's my director. We're lighting up on him, okay?
We all love Joseph. Come on. We all love Joseph
coming and the rest of the guys that's guests at the place that we're at too, at Trust Recovery, they came out and supported me. And I've seen times where support was not existent.
Yeah, I felt that too.
I grew up with a lot of lack of support. I grew up with, when I had accolades and things at school, I didn't have parents and people that were there cheering me on when I made straight A's and when I had sports and stuff. So to be now in a space where continue to get sober, continue to thrive, the people that are in this program with me, I thank God for them because they're here to support me too. You know, and it feels good to look over here and they're here with me. These are the people that I lay down with. We go through some ups and downs and we have our moments, but I love them and they love me too. And Joseph helped make this possible. So I wanted to tell you guys thank you too, just for the support of you being here.
Choice gang.
Don't say gang.
Love you, Jason.
Yeah, it's always good to see friendly faces, you know, here.
It helps.
It's really helpful. I can say that since working here, the people I've met in such a short time, I know that those numbers that I've gotten, those Facebooks that I'm friends with, if I reached out to them, they would be there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes in a recovery community, I feel like it's hard. You find, especially, I can't speak for men because I'm not a man, but I know in the women's rehabs and stuff, they are catty and dramatic. And it's hard sometimes. You either have a best friend and then y'all fall out and you know, think that somebody's your friend and then they're not. And it's hard to stay in that community when there's drama constantly. Right. And I don't feel that here ever. I feel like we are a real family. Like we three right here, we are the Wonder Triplets.
Yeah.
You know, we were the Wonder Twins. We got our triplet. I know that I can always count on y'all. And it's nice to know that, one, we have bosses that if we need something, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we have to sit around and be scared to ask for help. We know that they're here for
us. And it's solid.
Yeah.
It's solid help. I love it also because you just meet a lot of real people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of tangible people that are real that have gone through struggles and that have gone before us and have paved the way and made it a lot easier for us too, you know, because it had not been for the Christians. You know, doing what he's done and going through what he's gone through to be able to help create this space for us. Just imagine
and
how that would be.
Being willing to give back.
Yeah, and not having a problem to do it, you know. So,
Dean, you know, like 35 years of giving back.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, what he did with Montana Society, he still wants done today. Yeah. You know, like every single person that we've encountered, they want to help. You know, they're not those people who make it in recovery and then they're done. Mm-hmm. They are here for us. They're here for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, what we're working on with the platform of the educational material for the Montana Society. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to help people get through things if they're not understanding it. Some people don't connect with other people. Right. That is a way to guide them. You know, just anything that is going to help the person. And, I mean, we do tons of cool stuff to make that happen.
Yeah, we seems to be implementing that all around, and hopefully it'll be helpful to everyone, you know, in the recovery network. And we do see a lot of people struggling, you know, throughout. You know, I'm sure, you know, both of you have seen a lot of people struggling so far. You know, just in your journey alone, I know I definitely have. If you guys could send one message to someone struggling right now, maybe even one of our viewers that's watching right now that's struggling with something, what would you say to them? What would your message be to them?
Oh, I have a lot to say on this one. For starters, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if everyone knew that or not. It's also Trauma Awareness Month. For starters, you are not alone. You're not. I know that we have a Most High Facebook page. My name is Bailey Taylor on Facebook. There is always, you can reach out to all of us. You're not alone. And life gets better. You know, you just have to keep pushing forward, keep doing the next right thing. And it will get better. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next month, but it will. I mean, I didn't work out the first time with anything. I kept going and going and going and messing up and messing up. And look at me now. Yeah. I don't think there's any person who truly, they might have said, oh, you can do it. I don't think there's someone who looked at me and was like, she's going to have 3.5 years clean in 3.5 years, you know, because I was a mess.
Yeah.
And even when I got diagnosed, I was watched like a hawk because everybody, who wouldn't, you know, when I was not that far in recovery at the time and I get diagnosed, why wouldn't I, you know? But I didn't, because I leaned into my support system, and that's what it is. You have to build that community, that network, and listen and mm-hmm. be okay with reaching out. It is not an issue. You're not annoying someone. It's not an inconvenience. If one person can't answer, find someone else. Mm-hmm. Keep going because nobody wants you to relapse. Nobody wants you back out there, and we will all be there for you. So,
yeah, I mean, I think when we go back out there, when we're out there, a lot of us forget how important our friends are to us. Yeah. At least I did, for sure. Like, I wouldn't respond to my friends' texts a lot of the time. I wouldn't just go out of my way to reach out to them on a daily basis or throughout the week to check in with them to see how they're doing,
right.
You know, because I was just so focused on myself and what I was going to do next and how I'm going to, you know, get to the next stage of my life, you know. And I wasn't focused on those friendships, which is something that's really important to me now. And I know, like, for me, you know, on my journey, that's the most important thing for me. I know that's like one of my foundational things is my friendships.
That's good.
Throughout this journey. So I don't know. It's really, really an important thing, I think.
For me, I'm not going to necessarily say that if I had a message for them,
yeah,
I'd rather my lifestyle and what I'm doing be a message. Yeah. It's not so much about what I can tell you to do and say, okay, take this turn and make this left or make this right. I'd rather my lifestyle and what I'm doing, if my mouth and my feet are matching up.
Right.
So I can be an example. A lot of times people fail to realize that it's not so much about picking up your Bible and being able to read it, because sometimes your life has to be a Bible, because no one's reading that Bible. They want to be able to see this stuff. They need right. to be able to see tangible things, people just like them that look just like you or look just like you and that have been in situations just like me. That, okay, if I can watch him do this, and if he stands firm on this, and he does what he says he's going to do, because I listen most of all, because it was people that had to do this before me that I had to learn to listen to. And sometimes you don't want to receive that type of information as far as it goes, and listening to people that know far more than you because you think you do know.
Mm-hmm.
But just let your lifestyle. That is the message more than anything that you need to you want to convey, and just stand firm on it and don't be fake about nothing that you do.
Right.
If you're gonna get in this and you're gonna do it, make sure you do it with all your might. That's what it's about, because someone's always watching all the time.
Come on,
all the time, and it means the world to me for me to finally be in a space. In a season of my life to be able to be an example for someone other than doing something I had no business doing. So I take this very, very seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Sobriety very seriously. We've got a young guy now in the studio. How old is this young guy? 14? What? How old was he?
Oh, 15.
15 years old.
Wow.
Lord knows.
And you're never too young.
If I had a me when I was 15, where I'd be? Lord knows. If I had people that would tell me, no, baby, don't do that. Or take this route and focus on this and do that. I didn't have that. So now we got to be a living testimony for the people that come behind us like that.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we do, what we say, how we move, the decision we make, the decision we don't make, all this stuff matters. It really, really matters, y'all. And you just don't know how detrimental it is to look at a guy in this studio and he's 15. Man, I think I started, that's the first time I started, I picked up when I was 16.
Wow.
I'm 44 years old. I do not want him to be me at 44. That's not what I want. I don't want him to be in and out of rehabs and in and out of recoveries based on someone not being able to tell him and show him that it is a better way and a better life. That's what we're obligated to do this. This is what it's about. This whole thing, all the lights and the glitz and glamour and all the stuff that we see, and that the people looking at this, they may assume that this is a bunch of pomp and circumstance and it looks good, but it takes a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears to get here now. And we're doing it not for ourselves, but for other people too. And we got to keep doing it. And just listen. And if you don't do nothing else in your life, try Jesus. That's going to do it. That's going to make the move right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what did it for me. That's where my solid foundation came from.
you know,
nothing else.
We had thought about the question about what our favorite recovery quote would be. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about a different one, but then I'm sitting here looking at your shirt and then you're talking about Jesus. And I was like, maybe that is my new favorite recovery quote. The no high like the most high.
Girl. Had it not been for him. I don't know where y'all would be.
Not here. Man,
I've seen times in my present future, just living, and I have been in a crossroad and didn't know which way to go.
He guides you.
Man. And it keep getting sweeter and sweeter every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It do.
It's amazing what that higher power can do for us, you know?
And every just single
and it's okay to any of those who Jesus is not theirs. You know, it's not to be offensive. That's just what we choose. You know, your higher power, whatever you choose to believe in and hold on to, like, that's, it's important. It's important. Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I just want to say, you know, to anyone struggling before we move on is I know a lot of us, you know, going through this journey, we put off things for a long time. You know, we spend a lot of time, or as long as possible, staying in active addiction rather than moving on into recovery where our lives can get better. So I want to just say, no matter how hard it seems now, like wherever you're at, the faster, you know, you make the step in the right direction to get sober and to make your life better, the faster your life will improve. I mean, it's happened for me multiple times, and I don't think anyone wants to go through it multiple times, but I just want to say that real quick. And then I guess we kind of just touched on that, Bailey, obviously. Yeah. And if you want to touch on that too as well, what is your favorite recovery quote? I know you may have just changed yours, but...
Yeah, I did change mine as we were sitting here.
I have one that's not so much about a recovery quote,
mm-hmm.
but an older lady, when I was growing up, she would always say this. She'd say, baby, eat the meat and spit out the bone. She would always tell me that. And I didn't get it at first. But she would say, eat the meat and spit out the bone.
I don't get it.
And I'm going to tell you, I got you. So just going down the roads I've been going down, you know, you're going to hear a whole lot of things. People are going to deposit things into your life here and there. They're going to say this. They're going to encourage you to do this. And you eat everything that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn to spit out the bone because everything that you hear won't be good for you.
Right, okay.
That's what she meant.
I hear you.
That's what she meant. Wow. She always wanted to make sure that... She said quite a few things to me. She'd say things like, baby, get all you can and can all you get. She would say those things. And then when she would say it, it took time. It took time for me to realize what she was saying. And she's saying, get all you can all you get. So at the moment, no matter what it was, she wanted me to be able to get it then. And the things that I had to hold on to, I had to can it for later.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to pull on that reserve later on in life. When I'm down the road 20 years later, still struggling with drugs, I had to pull in on that reserve and can all I get. Because those are the things that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised. They call them colloquialisms. That's what they really are. When they just have those little quotes like that.
Yeah.
Older people, especially ones with wisdom, mm-hmm. Lord, they say some of the most simplest things. And those things have gotten me. It seemed like from one life to the next, and has saved my life. And so as far as this goes in sobriety, when she tells me, baby, eat the meat and spit out the bone. Make sure you eat that meat. But if it's not good for you, if it's not resonating with your spirit, and if it's not what God is saying to do in your life, then you spit it out.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Then you keep moving.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Caleb?
I think for me, I was kind of thinking about it before we actually sat down a little bit. My favorite recovery quote is, it always seems impossible until it's done. Because really, I mean, I thought this was going to be so difficult. I thought this would take so much time. It would be the hardest thing I ever done. Like, I wanted to give up so many times. But then, you know, after doing it and how much better I feel and how much better I'm doing in everyday life, like, I'm just so happy where I'm at now. So, I don't know. But I know we spend a lot of time editing, you know, throughout the week when we're not, you know, going to film or doing the podcast here on Fridays. And I know we just got your computer for you today, Jason. Yeah. So you're going to be spending some time in the editing suite, too, with me and Bailey. What do you think your go-to editing snack will be sitting down? I know, Bailey, what is yours?
Guys, I am so self-conscious. I am so self-conscious around these guys that I work with because they eat oranges and bananas Caleb doesn't eat throughout the day. And I'm sitting there with a bag of chips, a salad, a ramen, a different ramen. You know, whatever I can get my hands on, I'm eating throughout the entire day. I cannot just sit there and not eat. And they're like, oh, I got to watch my weight. I'm like, I need to gain 10 pounds. Like, can we go to Taco Bell now?
No, I mean, I understand that. Oh,
my God. And always the Red Bull. Always.
Yeah, you do have a lot of those.
Brian has crazy stock in the fridge for me for if I don't have one, because it will be a bad day.
I don't know. My go-to snack. Well, I've been stressed a lot because I've been depressed about this weight thing, girl. Man, like,
what I say?
It's about to be summertime. I'm trying to be fine. It's, oh, I'm trying to get it.
Or just get the confidence and think you're already fine.
I'm trying to do it. So, let me tell you my go-to. It's these little trail mixes. Not shrimp, yes. Joseph. Trail mixes.
The little purple packs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Those little trail mix packs are so powerful. They got raisins, M&Ms in them.
Nuts,
the whole
sunflower seeds.
I love those. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
Well, I think for me, I just really like to have a Nature Valley bar here and there.
When I'm
just
sitting down and editing. And I'm over here pigging.
He booze you like that, though. Yeah.
I'm not, though.
I'm like, wait, I'm starving. And he's like, go eat. And I'm like, I already ate. God, guys, what's y'all's most embarrassing moment, do y'all think?
Honestly, for me, it's this today.
Oh,
right
my
now.
God, you're doing so good.
I don't know. I never expected to be on the podcast like this. This is all new for
you
me.
You are
this,
natural.
For this. Jason.
I honestly have an embarrassing moment because I really don't care what people think about me. So if I make a fool out of myself, I just do, you know. But because you think about this. Think about some of the times you made a fool out yourself in the street when you were chasing after dope. You weren't embarrassed then. So, we talk about over him now.
Yeah,
so
we all look crazy.
Doing something that's positive, something good, and we've been able to encourage and network, like you said, and help people. So, there would never be embarrassing moments over here because we're being proactive.
I think it's a requirement to be weird to work here. Like, I'm pretty sure I checked the box on the application, but
the whole crew.
I didn't think I had an embarrassing moment until Brian walks in with his phone to take a video, and I, for the second time in 2 days, pose for a selfie, and it was not a selfie. Yeah. I'm like, wait, this is a video?
Yeah, it's a very unbalanced crew.
Yeah.
It is. It's unbalanced in the most healthy way.
Yeah.
It is. We work, because my first day at work, so we drive into, what was the place we went to? What was the name?
Croc Street Tunnel.
So my first day at work, I'm in the back seat. You got Christian driving a Lincoln. The windows are down. Okay, it's the Lincoln. It's like old school Lincoln, too. Mm-hmm. He playing rap music. I'm the only black guy in the car. So, any other given time, how it would look, we got pulled over and probably end up in jail. So, we're riding. He's playing rap music. And we go to tag a Subway. Like, who does that on their first day at work?
No, that would be
and
crazy
then,
if I watched.
We get busted in on the guy's bathroom taking pictures.
Oh yeah, let me tell you about her and I. So me and Bailey, Bailey loves to take pictures.
Yes.
So I go to use the bathroom at this restaurant called Astoria. So we're gonna plug y'all too. I go in there and the bathroom is dope. I'm talking about the bathroom is so cool. It is graffiti all over the entire bathroom, even on the toilet seats. So I rush out the bathroom and I go find Bailey. I'm like, girl, you got to see this. You have got to see the bathroom. We got to do a photo shoot in the bathroom. Keep in mind, it's the men's bathroom, too. So when I get her, we go in the men's bathroom. First, I say, well, look, just take a look and tell me what you think about the bathroom. So she peeps in the bathroom. She's like, she goes in the girls' bathroom first. The girls' bathroom
cool
is
enough.
On zero. Most of the time, you always go to a restroom and girls' bathrooms are lit. The guys' bathrooms, you look terrible. But in this case, it was the opposite. And it was a really cute waitress, too. She was really cute. She had tattoos all over her body, too. And it was a cute guy there, too. So,
we love Astoria.
So, long story short, we go in, and I was like, girl, get your camera ready. Like this. So, she gets the phone out. I stand on the toilet.
Keep in mind, the door doesn't lock,
look,
y'all.
The door doesn't lock, because she said it at first. She was like,
was
let
like,
me lock the door.
Here?
I said, no, don't worry about it. It won't take long. So I'm standing up on the toilet. It's graffiti all on the top of the ceiling, on the wall, and everything. And I'm making all over. I'm posing. Do you hear me?
in a worker bus team.
Let me tell you what she does, though. The first thing she do is leave me. Girl, where you going? We in this together.
But I'm a girl in the men's bathroom.
Bailey jumps ship and runs out the bathroom. So the guy was like, oh, don't worry, I won't be in here long. Like this. So he came in.
Didn't see his face when he looked at me when he walked in.
Well, because she was looking, because she just kind of stood and looked. She was like,
I'm in the men's room.
Yeah. And so he came out. We got a really great picture, but the moment in itself was
it was really cool.
It was really cool. I appreciate you too. She loves to take pictures.
Yes.
She's really good at it too. She's a beautiful girl.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you just for what you've done. And you too, Caleb. You do. You have you're a great inspiration to me.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're nosy.
I don't think he's nosy. I think he's very curious and like has a I'm a control freak, so like I feel like he has control issues too, and like we connect with that, like what's going on, why did you do that, what is going on here, what am I supposed to do, you know, like we vibe on that level.
He will interrogate you.
Yeah, I've definitely given him the whole rundown on prison. He knows not to go.
He knows that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Just my friend.
Yeah, but he's a good guy, though. I really like him a lot. And he knows his stuff. He does. And he did a great job filming
Christian
yesterday, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a really, really great job.
We definitely see Caleb in his element.
The team in general was a dynamic group, and we meshed well together.
Yeah. You know, you weren't with us at the Whitley Hotel when we did Dean's stuff, but we were all walking in, and I have a picture that we can post on the page, and it's like all of us walking, and we all look so different, and I have like a thing over, we're carrying cameras and cases and pods, what is it called? Why can't I say that word right now?
Tripod,
thank you, goodness gracious. And we were like, what do you think people say when they look at us? And we're like, they form together because of drugs.
I'll tell you another good moment yesterday that I enjoyed too. I didn't know this, that yesterday was National Prayer Day.
Yes, somebody stopped us and told us that.
It was National Prayer Day yesterday, and I had no idea that it was a such thing, which is always a day for something.
It was like a group of like older people just walking down the street and stopped us to tell us it was National Prayer Day.
Yes, she said it was National Prayer Day, so that was new. But the environment was really great, though, and you did a really good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we never know who we're going to, you know, come across when we're filming in the wild like we were.
In the wild.
In the field, as Bailey likes to say.
Yes, I love it. In the field. Field work.
So that's always really cool. But I mean, I know you guys were just talking about it, but like, what's something people wouldn't really guess about you besides you both like taking pictures in the men's bathroom?
Yeah, I guess people wouldn't know that. Guys, I'm shy, and I don't think a single person in this place or the people that I know are watching would believe that, but I am terrified of people. Jeez. And I just, when I feel connected, like I come into this whole different side of me, and I like, I never stop talking. I have so much to say. I just want to talk to everybody. But then when I'm around people I'm not comfortable with, I'm like, oh my God, why is that person looking at me? What's going on? You know, like I start freaking out. Like I'm very shy and awkward, and I don't feel like y'all have ever seen that side of me. I feel like I walked in that door and felt like I was at home. But outside of here, y'all, like, somebody was staring at me through the window of my car, and I'm like, what do they need? You know? Like, well, what do you want? Who sent you?
I get
you. Yeah, for real.
I understand you there, because most y'all, that you come, like, your first day, you always go through this hazing phase for some reason. I don't know why people decide they like to do that. When you usually go on the job, and you're the new boots and the new guy on the job or the new girl, it's almost like they team up like this screwed up sorority or something, and they want to just take you through all these channels and stuff. But when I came here, it was nothing like that. When I came here, I met everybody individually, and we all had individual relationships, and everybody was just really, really dope and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It didn't feel like work, and it didn't feel like coworkers.
Right.
It felt more like family.
We're family.
Yeah. And I appreciate that a lot. But as far as something that no one probably knows about me that they wouldn't expect for me to like or do, my grandma, Lord bless her heart and bless her soul, she's dead and gone. We used to always fish together. We would go yard selling.
Oh.
Lord, I used to, because it's a country thing.
I know, I love that too.
Yeah, it's a country thing. My grandma did that. We used to get up in the mornings. Back where I'm from, it's this place called Tasty Shop. And me and my grandma would get up. She had a brown Granada. Get up early in the mornings and go to the station shop, and she'd order a ham and cheese biscuit and an extra biscuit. they had so much ham on it, country ham on it, she would split it and put the rest of it on for me. And we get two RCs and we go fishing. And after we go fishing, we go yard selling. And then I guess it's like one of those nostalgic moments that I miss with her. But I love her because she was like a professional fisher. My grandma.
Okay, grandma.
Look, she would, I don't know if you know what, like, y'all know, you guys know what snatch poles are? Snatch poles is like when they make them out of bamboo. Yeah, and it's just not, it's not like something you reel in or nothing. They got a string and a cork, and they sling it out in the water. And she would have two, one on each feet. She'd stick a spinner in the ground and hold one in her hand. So this lady's fishing for four fish at one time. So it was just some good memories. So I love to fish.
Aww.
That's really cool.
What about you, Caleb?
I really enjoyed actually going garage selling, yard selling with my grandma too. It's something we would do in Wisconsin, actually kind of out in the country. So that's really cool. But I don't know, I feel like a lot of people don't know that, you know, I've been playing tennis since I was 5 years old.
You said that to me.
I didn't even know that. I knew you played tennis. Yeah. That long.
So, I mean, it was always that something that interested me, but my dad plays tennis. He's been playing pretty much his whole life since he's been young, growing up in India. And then he kind of like taught me when I was young, and it's something our whole family plays now. Like I play, my sister plays, my mom plays, and now we can all play together. There's four of us, so we can play doubles
when
we're all together, which is really fun. So I feel like a lot of people don't know that about me, though.
He told me that yesterday.
Well, guys, I feel like we're kind of coming to the end of this.
Yeah, we're wrapping up, it looks like.
Yeah, but like what's one thing you've learned about yourself since you started the internship?
Yeah, so since I've been working here, you know, I've talked about it, I don't know, two or three times already, but I really didn't think I actually had really any creative ability or talent, you know, going into this. I really was struggling with that aspect of it. And now, like, working here, I know it's only been a month, you know, it hasn't been that long at all, but I feel like I'm actually using that, you know, creative energy, that creative part of my brain every day at work here, you know, and that's something that I kind of enjoy now, and I can maybe even use that in my life throughout the day and then also in my career moving forward, which I really never thought about, you know, utilizing before this. So that's really cool for me.
What did I learn about myself? I think I learned how much I don't know. Yeah, I think that'll be it. It's how much, and it's exciting not to know, because then you get a chance to be field and learn so much from people that really do know. Right. So, just the fact that I'm still very hungry for life, and it's the opportunity for me to continue to grow. Yeah. It always feels good, because when you get to that space in your life where you're frozen and you're not receiving, be able to receive things, and you don't have a receivable spirit and a teachable spirit, where do you go? You know, so I'm in a great space, a great time in my life right now. It's harvest season for me. And I thank all for it. So I'm just eager to just see what's next for us.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You're going to be a great addition to our team, I think.
I'm already
enjoying working with you, hanging out with you in the office so far. It'll be a lot of fun,
yeah.
I think for sure. Bailey, is there anything that you've learned about yourself specifically while being here, or something that made you think about a situation differently, or just, you know?
I think that, you know, when you think about clean time, you know, I think 3.5 years, I should have life pretty figured out. But in the reality of things, you can have 20 years and not have a single thing figured out.
Right.
And so, especially working with Christian and David, like, I'm starting to see that there's so much more to myself than I believe. Like, I think I'm healed. I think I'm this. Because things that were traumatic to me don't affect me anymore. But at the end of the day, there are things that I didn't even think would have affected me that have. And I have a really bad anxiety problem. And I constantly felt like that issue was because, oh, I just have a dreamy mind, like I have a imagination, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But, you know, me and Christian were kind of talking about how it's probably something within myself that I'm running from. And so I'm really interested to keep working on that, because I want to reach my full potential and get better and better. And I didn't even know that there was an issue to start with. I just thought that was the way I was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, getting all of that, I mean, we get so many benefits, not only just from working here and learning, you know, the different skills that we learn here every day. We're getting those other aspects, you know, whether it's the life coaching or going out and seeing all these different people, You know, the experiences we get here. It's there's so much we can take away from this. You know, we're doing a lot of projects right now. We're working on a lot of different things. Montana Society, interviews that we may have done together with someone, the editing, obviously. And we're also going out to these locations, you know, going out to these new places. What's something that you guys are looking forward to next, you know, in the internship? We have a lot of things coming up. So what's something you want to speak
about?
In the
internship or just in general?
Just like something you're looking forward to next here at Most High, like maybe something we're all doing, you know, we're going to Montana.
We're very excited. Yeah, I think that's going to be such a cool opportunity because one, I've been to different states. I've lived in other states. I have never been out to like Montana. My grandma wants me to go with her to Yellowstone so bad. And like life just kind of has pulled me in and I've, you know, had everything going on so far, and it's been hard for me to do things like that, but you know, she went and sold her house, bought an RV, and has been traveling all the states, so she's been up in Montana having fun. She loves the show Yellowstone, which obviously, you know, the Dutton Ranch, if it was real, would be where the bunker is.
I didn't know she was so into it. No,
oh, she
crazy.
Is so into it. Yeah, and so we kind of had a plan to kind of go traveling, but with everything, like, I haven't been able to. And Dean has said, you know, if your grandma ever wants to come, tell her to come. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that because I've never had an experience like that.
I'm extremely looking forward to that, though. Just the trip in general, to get out and get away and then to be working.
Yeah.
During it, you know, and getting paid for it.
Yeah, so, what kind of cool job is that? How many people get
to Montana,
RV to Montana,
view this stuff and just be around these people? I can tell you another thing that I'm really excited about, too. The Montana Society, I want to be able to interview a lot of the guys that started it out to see how they're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've started that.
Yeah.
And something we were talking about is, you know, there's some who made it and some who didn't. Right. And we, like, want to see, like, what's going on, you know? How can we develop something that is more personally focused on, like, their recovery, like they're doing with us now,
right?
You know? Obviously, there's a whole lot of people. I know some of them, we're going to meet some of them there. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a really cool experience.
Because it's a different type of, it's a different type of rehabilitation, though, on a whole different plateau. Like, who in the world would have ever thought about being sober
in a bunker?
Like, you know, this. A lot of people would be like, they'd rather go to jail than to do it. So, I'm excited about it to see just how it's going to be and what's coming out of it, too.
Yeah.
I just want to see what it looks like because I know what it started out looking like, but now I want to see the finished product with how it looks, too. I'm very excited about that.
Seeing it in person will be really cool because obviously me and Bailey, and I'm sure you've seen it too, and just sort of our rough cutting, we've seen what the bunker looks like, kind of.
Yeah,
we've
stared at it from day one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on 2024. Mm-hmm. I'm doing
2023.
I'm doing 2022. So we've seen, like, we've watched the videos to begin with from what's already done. And now we're editing 2022, 2023, and seeing what has changed each year. It's really cool. So to see the finished product in person...
It's going to be amazing. I mean, we're all excited about going out to Montana. I think for me personally, you know, going forward, I'm really excited about possibly in the future being able to film with the drone. I've always kind of been into a lot of like RC stuff, like RC cars in the past. Like that was one of my hobbies. So I feel like, and I've had drones before, so I feel like flying the drone will be really fun. Yeah. Maybe getting some footage on that. I'd really enjoy that. And also fine tuning my editing techniques as well as my filming techniques with the different cameras, getting B-roll, all that type of stuff will be really cool too. So that's something I'm excited about. And now I guess we're almost ready to close up the show now.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to our boss over here, Christian.
Go Christian!
As well as Dean, Brian, we even got Liam and everyone else here at Most High.
Taylor, Andrew, behind the scenes, David.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have our donors.
we have our donors to thank here. Everyone.
Our families.
The support system, networking, and all the viewers, too.
Most definitely. We're just happy for all you guys making this possible tonight. Yeah. We love Most High Media.
Yes, we do.
We're happy to be here.
Most High.
No high like the Most High.
No high like the Most High.
All right, we're closing out.